ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायण नमस्कृत्यम्
नारायण
चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो चयामुदीरयेत् नस्तापृषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत् सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वातमपाकते धार्मज्ञानिभि सह खलौ नस्तुति सम्मेषा पूर्वनार्कुतुनोदितः इदं भगवतां नामां पुराणं ब्रह्मसंहितम् उत्तमश्लोकचरितं चकार भगवान् ऋषिः निःश्रेयसाय लोकस्य धन्यं स्वस्तय नमः। क्रान्तराक्षसिंह भगवतां की जय। Hare Krishna. So read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 13th chapter, text 23. New system. Readable, huh? Tathapi Prumahe Prashnams Tava Rachan यथा श्रुतं सम्भाषणीयो हि भवान् आत्मनः शुद्धिम् इच्छता तथापि ब्रह्महे प्रश्नं तथापि ब्रह्महे प्रश्नं भवराजन् यथाश्रुतम् भवराजन् यथाश्रुतम् सम्भाषणीयो हि भवान् सम्भाषणीयो हि सम्भाषणीयो हि भवान् आत्मनाक्षुतम् इच्छता आत्मना शुद्धम् इच्छता तथापि स्टिल ब्रूमहे आई शैल आंसर प्रश्नान् ऑल द क्वेश्चंस
तावा
योर राजन् ओ किंग यथाश्रुतम् as I have learned by hearing from the authorities Sambhashaniya, fit for being addressed.
He indeed,
Bhavan,
you,
Atmana,
of the Self,
Shuddhim,
purification,
Ichchata, by one who desires. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King, although you know everything, you have posed some questions, which I shall try to answer according to what I have heard by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Purport. A saintly person doesn't wish to speak to anyone and everyone. And he is therefore grave and silent. Generally, a common man does not need to be advised. Unless one is prepared to take instructions, it is said that a saintly person should not address him. Although sometimes, because of great kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. As for Prahlad Maharaj, however, since he was not a common ordinary man, whatever questions he posed would have to be answered even by a great and exalted personality. Therefore, the saintly Brahmana did not remain silent, but began to answer. These answers, however, were not concocted by him. This is indicated by the words Yathashrutam, meaning, as I have heard from the authorities. In the Parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. No one should attempt to create or manufacture answers. I must refer to the Shastras and give answers according to Vedic understanding. The words Yathashrutam, refer to Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are known as Shruti because this knowledge is received from authorities. The statements of the Vedas are known as Shruti Praman. One should quote evidence from the Shruti, the Vedas, or Vedic literature, and then one's statements will be correct. Otherwise, one's words will proceed from mental concoction. Tathapi brumahe prashnams tavarachan yathashritam sambhashaniya hi bhavan atvana shudhim ichchata. My dear King, although you know everything, you have posed some questions which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter 13 of the 7th canto is entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. The verse spoken here is Narad Muni. Always Narad Muni. He's very prominent in all the Puranas and in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, because he's the greatest authority of the Bhagavad Mark, of the path of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's always eager to glorify this path towards the Lord. That means the path of bhakti, of devotional service. And he made many devotees, because he's a free preacher. He's not bound up in one yatra, in one temple, or in one region, or in one country, or even on this earth planet. He's not bound. He can travel throughout the whole universe, and even above, to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, and so on. So he's a free preacher. He's a liberated personality. always glorifying the activities, transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and their devotees. That's significant, that one glorifies not only the Lord, but also the Lord's devotees. And it is actually thanks to Narada Muni, who protected already Prahlad Maharaj in the womb of his mother, because he was born of a demon family, great demon king Hiranyakashipu. So the demigods, when Hiranyakashipu was on tapasya, performing tapasya to conquer the universe, the approached the mother of Prahlad, who was still in his womb, in her womb, and they wanted to kill Prahlad. But it was Narada who came and stopped them and told, "No, this will not be a demon." Demigods, they thought, because Hiranyakashipu was a demon, or is a great demon, so his son must be similar. Apple is not falling far away from the tree. So it must have similar nature, or even worse. So they were very much afraid of Prahlad. But then Nara told them, "No, Prahlad is not a demon, he is a great devotee, he is a Bhagavata devotee." And since birth, Prahlad showed always the symptoms of a devotee. He had no interest in the kingdom of his father or in materialistic, selfish activities. So later on, when his father was killed by the Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad, although he had no desire for worldly control or management, became empowered or requested by Lord Nrisimhadev to take charge for the kingdom of his father. That means the kingdom of the demons, of Asuras. And thanks to Prahlad Maharaj, he was a great devotee, so he became a very good king, a great manager and well-wisher of all the citizens, of all the prajas. And as such, he traveled sometimes through his country to find out different personalities, study their characteristics, because a king is always interested that everyone is properly situated, nobody is starving, nobody is in scarcity or is degraded. So he's well-wishing for everyone and observing everyone's activities and characteristics. Because at that time, everyone was engaged according to their mentality in Varna and Ashrama. And Prahlad Maharaj, he wanted to see all these different kinds of people, how they are situated, and how they are well in his country or in his state. His ideal king, well-wishing, not exploiting. And especially, he also used his traveling and observation not only to see how everyone is engaged in their according to their occupations in Varnas and Ashrama, but he also wanted to visit and see the saintly personalities, the sadhus in his country, how they live, how they behave, how they act, What kind of knowledge they have, like that. What kind of realization they have. So he was very eager actually to associate with the sadhus. And he met different kinds of sadhus. But one time he met a very special sadhu. And that sadhu was not ordinary. He was just lying on the street. Like some few years ago, he passed away now. We had here on the Parikrama Road such a Baba, I call him a Baba, who was just lying there always on the road on the left side when you go down. You remember? He was far out. He was always there day and night, heat, cold. He was not collecting like others who are here on the road. You see them always with a begging bowl, calling out, chanting, or calling you, or holding on your, give me something, give me paisa, give me donation. He was not like that. And he never took a bath. But the interesting thing is, although he never took a bath, there was never a bad smell from him. He went nearby. No, there was never a bad smell from him. He was always self-satisfied, not collecting, not bothering anyone, begging. But somehow or other he had always something. Some other babas or people came to him, they gave him some banana, they gave him something to eat. But he could immediately recognize when somebody came with a certain motivation, oh, he's a poor man. I want to give him some charity. I want to do something good for him. Then he became so angry that sometimes he took the banana from that person and he threw it at him or at her. And sometimes this person is sometimes surprised. Oh, I want to do something good to Sadhu, but now he hurt me and even beat the banana in my eyes. But she could not properly understand that certain sadhus, they know our mentality, how to give. Krishna knows how our attitude, how we want to give, what we give. If we give it with love, with devotion, with sympathy to Krishna, or if we give him, or we want to give him something out of expectation of adoration, or awards, benefits, or recognition. Krishna does not need anyone's help. He's self-sufficient, he's Atmarama. And a sadhu, who is perfect, he is also self-sufficient. He doesn't need anyone's help. But they sometimes accept, like this sadhu here, what Prahlad Maharaj met. He later on explains. Actually, I have two examples of nature of living entities embodied, a snake and a bee. How I should survive? He frankly told, previously I was also working, I followed my obligations, I did my jobs and activities like that. But then later on, I thought, no, I do work all the time. No. Because I saw the bee were collecting from a flower so much nectar, as it, not too much, only a little, then went to the next flower, then another flower, without being attached. Sometimes she got nectar, sometimes no nectar. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. It's called madhukari. Some sadhus, they take up this kind of begging of madhukari, only accepting little from the householders. They visit about 3-4 households, and whatever preacher passes or family people give him rice, chapati, like that. dal, he accepts. Not too much, he will not overeat or collect too much. So that sadhu learned from the bees. And he learned from the snake, python, that the snake never has to endeavor for food. It just lies there, and sometimes by chance something comes and he will get some food. He will not starve. He will not die. Sometimes he has to wait long, long time, for many, many days, not eating. But still, food is given at the proper time. And if no food is given, then I will not eat. Actually, this is very severe tapasya, this kind of renunciation. Practically, almost nobody can do, unless if you are very high level of Paramahamsa. In Gaudiya Vaishnava, or actually before Gaudiya Vaishnava, the guru of Lord Chaitanya's guru is Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, he was such a great Paramahamsa. When he came to Vrindavan, he never was begging. He never did Madhukari. He only was sitting down underneath a tree, and sometimes people gave him something and sometimes they didn't give. But then he didn't make special endeavor to find some food. He didn't visit some free kitchen, some charity kitchen where food is distributed freely. He only was chanting, meditating about the Lord, never attached to how to fill my belly, what I will eat tomorrow, and what kind of food I will eat tomorrow. We always need changes, you know. This day I need this, tomorrow something else, and we make plan how to eat. Because this is natural for embodied beings, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So we make plan, we have to make arrangements, we have to earn money for that. But here this sadhu, he learned from the snake, from the python, no, don't make an endeavor. Food, and the place to sleep, on the land, and the pillow, your arms, is always available. Air is there. The Lord is there in your heart. He will protect you from tigers, from dangers. So therefore, a sadhu is completely, on the Paramahamsa level, is completely detached. And Madhavendra Puri, he was in such a level, high level, and one time Krishna came and he brought him some cup of milk. Madhavendra Puri was surprised. Oh, how you know that I'm here and that I'm fasting? So some village ladies came here. They were here. They saw you, and they were catching the milk, something from the land and some water. And they told me. They sent me. They gave me the milk to bring it to you. So in this way, Madhavendra Puri, he got milk directly from Krishna, and later on he realized that it was Krishna, and he became empowered by Krishna to find him, because he was covered in Govardhan region there. Nobody knew where he is, Gopalji, and Madhavendra Puri, in the dream, the Lord revealed him where he is, and next morning they excavated him from the bushes with some other local people and established him on the Govardhan and made big artic and ceremony, Anakut. And Madhavendra Puri didn't have to collect, everything was supplied, because when the Lord is worshipped, everything will be given. Everything will be arranged. So all the glories of Madhavendra Puri was spreading so much that all the people in all the villages, they came with all kinds of food, so that it could be offered towards the Lord. So the devotee doesn't have to make special arrangements, and he doesn't reveal himself to each and everyone. Here I'm a devotee. I put tilak, Vaishnava dress, saffron, or dress of renunciation, and so now I'm here, sadhu, I'm a sadhu, please give me this and maintain me. So they're not beggars like that. Actually, a sadhu only visiting a householder or a place for a little time, as much as it was needed to milk a cow. And maybe when the personality was ready to ask questions and to a sadhu, then the sadhu would reveal out of sympathy to that person some knowledge or transcendental knowledge. Shukadev Goswami did that. Sanatana Goswami did it. When Sanatana Goswami came here to Vrindavan, he went to Madhukari sometimes, every day, to get something that he could prepare for Madame Gopal or Madame Mohan. And he became very prominent, where everyone loved him. Everyone appreciated Sanatana Goswami's genuine austerity and his devotion to the Lord. And also not only to the Lord, also to the people, to all the Brijabasis. So he showed them sympathy, affection, like a father. Showing affection and asking them, not like sometimes we go neophyte preachers, devotees, they go to somebody, immediately start to preach extreme. Don't do this, don't do that. Do this, do that. Why are you doing this? You should follow this. Because Shastra says, Guru says, Prabhupada says, sometimes and then it becomes confusing for people, especially if we are imitating, repeating something in a not realized way, then the people cannot easily accept. But if somebody comes with sympathy, with love, with some affection to them, also concern about them and ask them how you are doing, how is your health, how are your children. Sanatana Goswami did all that. When he visited the visitors, what is your health, everything is well, how was your harvest, everything was okay this year, your children are okay, healthy, like that. And therefore everyone appreciated Sanatana Goswami. And then sometimes he also gave them some mundane instructions or help, advices, because he was a minister of Nawab Hussein Shah. He was very intelligent, very diplomatic. He knew so many sciences, so many ways of how to help a government and to the people. And therefore he was always engaged in this way, to help the people, also as a devotee, to take care for their well-being, materially and spiritually. There was also a devotee, he was Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, he was actually Hanuman. He was Hanuman, but he became a Chaitanya Bhakta. And one time, Lord Chaitanya asked Murari, why are you always worshipping Ram? You should chant Radha, you should worship Radha Krishna. Murari, he tried for some time, but then he cried next day and thought, I tried to chant Hare Krishna, but I cannot forget to chant Ram. Ram Nam, because he is my Lord of the heart. So And Lord Chaitanya liked him, appreciated very much the genuine love of a devotee like Murari, who was completely dedicated in the service of his Lord, Ishtadev. Never make compromise. Although he knew Radha Krishna, Lord Narayana are the supreme, he says, but I cannot give up the worship and the service to my master, Raghunath, the Lord of the Raghus, Lord Ramachandra. So he was very dedicated. And he was an Ayurvedic doctor. He was a Vaidya. Like many of Lord Chaitanya's followers were Vaidyas. Then they had some medical knowledge and experience to cure the health or the diseases of the people, not only materially but also spiritually. So Vaishnava, therefore, he can benefit people materially and spiritually. So that everyone can make progress. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, for healthy development of spiritual life, one has to cultivate and possess four things. Four things. The first one is good health. Good health, therefore everyone is concerned, number one, good health. Although sometimes they say, no, it's not so much important. We are devotees. Don't take care for the health. No, good health is very important. Although this Paramahamsa here, Prahlad Maharaj was amazed. He was not taking care for his health. He was not taking care for eating properly the food. But still, he was chubby. He was healthy. He had an effulgence. He didn't look pale or lifeless. Sometimes we see Vaishnavas so much tapasya, not eating properly, or I don't know what. Completely pale. Skinny, pale, lifeless. But although they are devotees of the Lord, Prahlad, he was amazed. Oh, here this sadhu doesn't make an endeavor. He's just lying there on the road. And he's chubby, he looks healthy, has a good effulgence. He seems to be, he's very knowledgeable, very clever, intelligent. He's not a fool, he's not dull. He's not a stupid person or a crazy person who didn't got any job and therefore lies on the street so that people will give him something. No, he was very impressed. This person looks very healthy, very wise, but still he doesn't work. I remember our Sankirtan time and we were distributing books, you know. People say, what you are doing, distributing books, you are disturbing the people. Why you don't go and work? You heard about that also, huh? They tell you, here in India maybe not, but in the West, you know. I'm from Switzerland, you know, it's a workers' nation. Scripture says there are two kinds of mentality. One is man-like, other one is ass-like. Two mentality. The man-like, they're like Hamsa, Paramahamsa. Ass-like, they just think, I have to work. I have to work very hard so that I can get money, so that I can get benefited. So that my life will become successful. So they are plan makers and working the hard day and night. They sometimes cannot even sleep. Therefore, everyone has to take nowadays sleeping tablets and go to so many therapies, psychotherapies, you know, to pacify their mind so that they can sleep. Although they have more and more money, but the problem is the more money you have, then you have to protect it. You always have to be scared to increase it, to protect it, to maintain it. So again, more sleeplessness. And again, I have to take so many drugs. Like in America, I write so much problem now with drugs. Actually, it's a problem all over the world. You know, this drug, not soft drugs, heavy drugs. Because people have so much problems. Manda samanda mataya manda paga padrita. So there are so much fallen, so much lazy for spiritual activities. But hard workers for sense gratification, what is very temporary, very flickering, they're not interested in Atma Tattva. Shatravidani Rachendra Drinamsanti Sahastrasa Apaschanti Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. The Grihamedi, they have about thousands of subject matters to hear and to speak, but not about Atma Tattva, not about the soul. And if the soul becomes dried out in the cage of human body, even if it is very educated, sophisticated, very wealthy, one becomes very unhealthy, one becomes sick. A devotee should not be sick, because a devotee should be healthy in Krishna consciousness. Therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is our first duty, to maintain health. Eat properly, not too much, not too less. Don't sleep too much, not too less. Don't overwork too much and not too less. Engage in satisfactory activities, regulated activities. Don't go to bed late at night. Like that. Because it's all taking our energy. Don't watch movies, TV, like that. Nonsense informations. Because it's sucking energy. It's sucking energy, our prana, and one becomes weak and unhealthy. And then one cannot attain the spiritual platform. Because to attain spiritual platform, one has to be healthy. And for the yogis, hatha yogis, they understand these signs, you know, that the body is like a clay pot. No. So a clay pot, you know, that you can use it properly to drink water and to eat from it, and especially to drink water, it has to be burned properly. On the market, you can, especially here in Vrindavan, I try to buy many times nice herb pots. But as soon as you use them a little, you know, they have crack, water is leaking out, and it's useless. Because it's not burned properly. It's not baked properly. And therefore the body, the yogis say, hatha yogis say, the body we have to, it's like a clay pot. It has to be burned. Burned so that it will not crack. So that no diseases can sneak in. Therefore they follow all these purification processes, you know. Inside, outside. And inside especially, purification processes. Very severe ones to purify their bodies and make the body very solid, very stable. Because only in this way one can practice yoga. If the body is weak, and then the mind is weak. Therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if the body is not healthy, the next thing is mind. Mind will be chanchala, will be very flickering. We cannot fix him on one point. So therefore we always have to also take care of the mind, but it very much depends on the body and mind, because there's a unity, there's a harmony. But if you don't learn these signs properly, then we just do whatever we like. We think, oh, I could chant Hare Krishna a little, and do this activity a little, and this bhakti, and this is bhakti yoga. But still, we are very unsteady, very flickering in our endeavors, in our sadhana. This is our weakness, that we are become very unsteady in sadhana. But sadhana is very important, because without sadhana, Lord Chaitanya says we cannot attain satya, we cannot attain the goal. Prema pumata maham, Krishna prema cannot be attained without sadhana. So for proper sadhana, we need good health, mind who is satisfied, who is fixed on process of hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. And the third thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is relationship. Proper relationship with devotees, sadhu sangha. Know how, with whom you should associate, with whom not to associate. You cannot associate with everyone equally. Otherwise you become burned out. We have seen many times a devotee opens his mind confidentially to somebody who is maybe not well-wishing, who doesn't understand you properly, who is not your real friend, and then he will just speak bad about you, or in the back speaking bad about you. And the Bhagavatam says, this is the worst. If one speak behind the back, you know, this is like whispering of the crickets in the night, you know. Cricket. They make so much noise, especially in the jungle, in the wilderness. They make so much noise. And you think, how can I stop them? But you cannot find to stop them, because they're practically invisible. So to speak about other persons' problems and realizations is very confidential, and therefore it should not be just spoken to everyone and everyone in this way or in that way. It's very confidential, like a doctor. A doctor, he has confidence, he has a vow, you know, not to speak about the patient's problem. He has to sign this even, you know, when he make a doctor title, a degree. He cannot speak about anyone's problem to anyone, not even with his family members. So this confidentiality is very important. This is called Priti Lakshana. Srila Rupa Goswami, in Lecture of Instruction, he gives this process of Priti Lakshana. Six processes of loving exchanges amongst the devotees. Satvidi Priti Lakshana. This is six kinds of loving exchange. Reveal your mind confidentially, hear confidentially from somebody, from that person. Distribute prasadam, accept prasadam. And? What is the other two?
Gift. Revealing one's mind in confidence.
This I already told.
Inquiring
confidentially, revealing, like that. And?
Giving gifts and charity, accepting gifts and charity, honoring prasadam.
Yeah, giving charity and accepting charity. Yeah. These are the six loving exchanges. Not must, but because I want to impress myself to that person that I will get the sympathy. Otherwise you get a banana on your eyes or nose, like this sadhu, this Baba here, who was a Python yogi. He passed away now, some years ago. But there's a bigger table there, you can still see it as memory of that Python sadhu. So it is very important, therefore, to learn these loving exchanges, not revealing to everyone immediately knowledge, only to an inquiring person who is really eager to hear and to know something about Atma Tattva, about the science of the soul, about self-realization, and about the goal of life, and about certain sadhana. This has to be, we cannot tell everyone. Now it's already finished. So the last thing is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says when we have these first three as a foundation, remember the proper Prabhu, remember the first good health, second good mind, balanced mind, happy mind, third one.
Relationship.
Yes, I forgot. Thank you. Relationship. And then the fourth one is then we can absorb our mind in chanting Hare Krishna and in studying the scriptures. Then we can absorb without disturbance. Otherwise, if we have not these three things proper, in proper line, in one line, with absolute truth, with our goal, with the sadhya, then we will always become disturbed, either by the body, by the mind, by relationships from outside. This one I don't like, that one I like. But why you like this one not, and why you don't like this one, and why you like this one? Oh, because they maybe made something very flattering to you. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj told, those who tell me the truth, even if it is unpalatable, and even gave me chastisement, is actually my friend. And those who are telling me not the truth, who are flattering me, they are my enemies. So therefore, but we like to become flattered all the time, and immediately we make friendship with that person. We give our heart, and then later on we'll regret. We regret. We cry, oh, why I was so stupid, why I revealed. So we have to learn how to see who is who. The super soul is here. And if you become more and more pure in devotional service by chanting and hearing about Krishna, by sadhana bhakti, Krishna as the super soul within your heart will reveal to you with whom to associate, with whom you can reveal mind, with whom you better keep distance, with whom you should not associate. But still association maybe sometimes is needed. Because especially if you are situated as a grihastha outside and you have job, then maybe you have to adjust to certain people, with your colleagues, or in the city or in a community. That also Bhaktivinoda Thakur is discussing in Sri Bhakti Aloka, how to associate with different persons, and because association is needed. Sangha Tyaga Shatovrite, Rupa Goswami says, give up bad association and associate with following footsteps of the previous acharyas, following the footsteps of sadhu vritti, proper conduct, not bad conduct. Nowadays we try to make, many times we follow bad conduct, look sympathetic, and the good conduct we say it's impossible. They always find shelter in something lesser, not in something higher. But our parampara, and what is coming from parampara is vidhi. It's not mental speculation. It's powerful. It's vidhi. It's coming from shastra, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. It's shruti. Shruti praman. So if we are accepting the process of shruti, we will never fail. But if we are listening to our mind or somebody other people's mind who have many kinds of concoctions, invented self-realizations and knowledge and processes how to become perfect, we should keep away. Only associate with those who represent Shruti. This is Srinivasacharya. When Srinivasacharya went to the Bhagavat class of in Vishnupur, because books were stolen, Goswami books, manuscripts were stolen, and he was the only one who was strong enough to stay and find out where these books are. I cannot live if they're stolen. I will give up my life. Fortunately, he found the king who stole the books, King Virhambir. So he was a Dacoy king. And he had although he was a Dacoy king, he always arranged Bhagavat Katha in the morning. He has a Bhagavat recital. But he was a professional, not in proper parampara. He didn't spoke about parampara, about from where, what he speaks, what whom he is representing. So Srinivasa Acharya was sitting amongst the audience, hearing from this Bhagavat speaker, Bhagavat Acharya. They're called Bhagavat Acharya. So he was listening to him, but then he felt very distressed. And then he asked question. What is actually your authority speaking like this and that about Bhagavatam? Because I see and hear never the word Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami said. No six Goswami are mentioned in your katha. So what is your authority? No Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in your katha. So this stupid Bhagavata reciter was asking him, who is this Lord Chaitanya? Who are the Goswamis in Vrindavan? Never heard. And why you're challenging me? Who are you? You're just a newcomer. If you can speak Bhagavatam better than me, you know, come here, sit and speak. And then Srinivasa Acharya, with a humble request and with the permission of the king and the queen, who was very sympathetic, they were very sympathetic to him, impressed by him, by his straightfulness. So then they gave him permission, you speak. And then he spoke, and he spoke about Gopi Gita, and he spoke about confidential subjects of Krishna Leela from 10th canto, but in such a way, nobody heard ever before, on the line of the Goswamis of Vrindavan and Lord Chaitanya, in Gaudiya line, and the hearts of the king and the queen melted away. And even the Bhagavad Acharya and the elder audience, you know, they became very impressed. Their hearts were all melting. They started to cry when they heard the katha from Srinivasa Acharya, because he spoke under proper authority. And then people, this thinking process in the mind is clicked off, you know. It's not working anymore. You cannot think anymore. I like it or I don't like it, what I heard. Because it's like coming in contact with electrical power or with fire, you know. Then you're fired up. You cannot think, I'm fired up now or not. You're fired up, you know. If you hear Bhagavad and from Bhagavad the devotee. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya recommended very, very strongly, and his secretary Swarupa Damodara Goswami also again and again, he thought, Bhagavata Paradiya Bhagavata Stane. So if you want to know Bhagavatam, you have to learn from Bhagavata devotee. Someone who lives Bhagavatam, not theoretically, knows some stories of Bhagavatam and becomes Bhagavatacharya. This is, no, but in private is something else. So Bhagavat means Bhagavatam speaker is Bhagavata devotee. And he speaks to an audience who is eager to hear. That's from the beginning established like that. Shukadev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj was eager. He put forward proper questions, and Sanatana Goswami became very happy, became inspired. During the whole discourse of Bhagavatam, we see this the questioner and the speaker, they catapulted each other more and more higher, you know, towards Krishna Prem. This is the effect, you know, of the speaker and listener and questioners. You know, they become both more and more ecstatic and liberated, the speaker and the listener. And sages of Naimisharanya, they put forward questions to Sutta Goswami later on. And the same process. Genuine question, genuine answer. Coming from Shruti, that what they hear, in a bona fide way, and that is, it has a power like electrical charge. The mind is not functioning, intellect is switched off, because everything becomes completely spiritualized. It becomes electricized by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Therefore, we should always go on like that in association of devotees and find out to hear more and more about, earnestly, about Krishna consciousness, how to make advancement in spiritual life, even from beginning. Sometimes we are in the beginning, but we want also to already have questions and want to hear something and understand something about Rasa Leela. But we can understand nothing. We only will become Sahajya. We only become sentimental. Therefore, we have to learn from beginning, ABC, step by step. Bhakti Yoga is step by step process. Adhaushrada, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti. Bhachanakriya, anartanaviti, then nishta, ruchi, like that, up to ashakti, bhava and prema. So that is the whole process. It's a step by step, but we have to start with Shraddha, faith in the speaker. And the speaker also have to have faith in you. And if both is there, then it's a proper result. Thanks. Thank you. Stopping here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Srila Prabhupada Ki.